Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode. Why they mostly come out at night?
Mostly.
Well, 1972 is off to a great start.
Wonderful start.
So
but you love kung fu movies, Will.
I do love kung fu movies.
I do too, they're so good.
I don't love these kung fu movies.
Oh, I don't know.
It was kind of confusing because it was it wasn't good at the beginning. It was tolerable.
Yeah.
Kind of weird fight scenes, but like...
You should mention the title, which has no relation to the fucking movie.
The title is called Boxers of Loyalty and...
Righteousness,
yes.
Loyalty to who?
I don't know.
Righteousness in what way? Boxers in what way?
Well, yeah, I mean, the title has literally nothing to do with what actually happens in the movie. Because there's no boxers.
The title should be called Spinning Cartwheel of Death.
That would be a more entertaining title.
It'd be very fitting.
Yeah, it would be. Especially from the final fight scene, which is just...
There's two cartwheels in this movie.
The most insane thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's one cartwheel, but there is another cart that is plays a prominent role in the movie.
A strange
and awesome turn.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was some baller shit.
That was beautiful. I don't know. I wanted to like this movie more than I did, but the middle part is so goddamn boring that I couldn't.
Yeah.
I almost fell asleep.
You could delete the whole middle part and not lose any.
You could make this like a 30-minute video where you just show the beginning and the ending.
Yeah.
And it'd be fine.
Yeah. Because nothing in the middle makes any. Has any connection.
Not really.
It's all just bullshit padded drama.
Like, what you should have done is take, the first part, and then the kind of the important part of the middle section.
Yeah.
Put that in.
Right after the first part.
Right after the first part. Then you could do all the other stuff.
Yes.
And then do the ending, and it would make more sense. Because
then they could make this movie like the spaghetti western that they wish they could have made.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't.
They steal a lot of samples from, classic westerns, music samples. Or the whole song.
I was about to say, it's more than a sample. It's literally the fucking song. But we'll get to that. We should talk about the plot, quote unquote.
So, Boxers of Loyalty and Righteousness is a movie.
Yes.
That has somewhat of a plot.
It has moving images. It has actors in it who deliver lines of dialogue. Yeah, it's a movie.
I mean, they don't deliver them well.
No, neither them or the fucking people who do the dubbing.
No.
Nobody.
No one delivered them well.
No. Very few things are delivered well.
No. Except for the end fight scene. Alright, so it starts out with a guy. He's on a beach on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's remembering how his father got killed by an assassin there.
Yes.
In the past when he was just a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he watches his father and all the guards get taken down by this one assassin that just pats them gently on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's very lethal. Very lethal.
I mean, it's supposed to be the Eagle Claw.
There's a name,
but
the Eagle Claw.
Yeah, and
of
he
death.
Yeah, he I guess he taps them so hard it kills them.
He taps them so hard that he penetrates their shoulder with his fingers.
What I don't get is there's no vital, there's nothing. I mean it would hurt.
There is in this universe. In this universe, your shoulder contains your heart. So,
but your bicep has a major artery, but
no, it's
your shoulder.
No,
doesn't.
In this universe, your heart is in your shoulder. So when they squeeze your shoulder, it fucking explodes your heart. Kill Bill style.
So he remembers that.
Josh mentioned that during this fight scene, the guy who's recounting this, it's showing him as a baby, and he's just strapped to his back. And then he, quickly runs off and, puts the baby behind, a rock.
And then goes and fights.
Goes and fights and gets murdered. And then the baby just sits there with a completely blank face watching this.
Yeah.
And somehow he grows up to be a fucking madman.
See, so it flashes back and he's explaining how because his dad died and watching his dad die, he's going to go after this master.
The king.
This grand master, I can't remember.
He's a king or something?
Yu Ming. He's a warlord. So, he vows that he's going to avenge his father's death, and he learned not just one martial art.
All of them.
All of the martial arts.
All of them.
He literally says, I have learned all the martial arts.
He's that baller.
Yeah. I mean, we see how baller he actually can be.
Yes.
So then he's about to take
100 people in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
He's about to take off and he sees this old man
with a coffin on his back. With a
coffin saying, "They killed my boy."
And yes,
the guy's like, what's going on?" And he's like, "They killed my grandson."
But you don't mention that he says they killed my boy like 50 fucking times.
And then says it's his grandson.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you don't mention that it takes like 2 goddamn minutes of him yelling, "They killed my boy." And then finally the guy in the horse is like, "Who did this?"
Yep.
It's like, okay, we get it.
So then I think it just cuts to him at the warlord's place.
It immediately cuts to him at
And then he takes down 2 of the guards on the wall and they fall down.
They fall down.
And then he just starts a rampage.
Yeah.
Like, just goes through this warlord's just killing everyone.
Immediately.
He just kills like everyone.
Immediately.
Just instantly he's at the place where
he needs set to up, be. Nothing.
Just goes and just plows through like soldier after soldier, just hundreds. And so he just cut them down.
I want to point something out. The thumbnail, we watched this on Amazon. The thumbnail, I don't think that's him.
That's not him.
He never wore a bandana.
I don't think that's from the actual film.
Shocking. So that's the second Kung Fu movie in a row that has a thumbnail that is not from the movie.
A generic Kung Fu thumbnail.
Yeah.
Because they just found it and were like, hey.
Because, first of all, that is way too clear. The copy we watched looked like, first of all, it was blurry, but it also looked like one of those... You remember sometimes you'd borrow a VHS from somebody and they fucked up the tape?
Yeah, because it would cut and go to black and white.
So they'd be like those random seconds where it would kind of blur out because the tape was fucked up and twisted. Mm-hmm. This movie has that.
Or if some heat got to some of the film, it would kind of warp it a little bit.
Yeah.
So you'd get parts where it's warped.
Mm-hmm. But then this thing has every imperfection you would want right on it.
And we watched this on Amazon, so they just got whatever they could find.
This is... Look, there's only, 5 other people who have seen this thing. I'm gonna guess this is the best you can do.
To be fair, 4.9 is a kind of okay rating for this movie, I guess.
Yeah.
I might give it a little lower, but because of the middle part.
I'd probably still give it higher than the last one.
Oh, yeah.
But that was some bullshit.
Well, I mean, we'll get to our final thoughts at the end. But so he goes through and just starts plowing through all these enemies, and then one of the warlord's henchmen,
son,
is it his son?
It's his son.
Okay.
They just never bring.
Yeah,
it up.
he's with the harem, and he's picking out girls and chasing them around he's blindfolded.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna get you. And then he trips out of a window and you see the guy fly by with his sword and lobs his head off.
He flies by Superman style with the sword pointed down and out. And right when the guy pops his head out the window, he's just there and his head is lobbed right off.
Just like a knife through butter.
And he immediately has a bag. Puts it in the bag, and then next thing you see is the warlord is just sitting somewhere, and a fucking head just flies right at him.
And he's like, "What?" And then
open it up. Yeah, he's like, "Open up. What is in there?"
And then
I wonder what's in there.
I don't know.
It's a bag, and there's a bunch of blood dripping out of it. Man,
what could be
it's
in there?
It's round shaped.
What could be in there?
I don't know. It's his son's head.
Yep. And then he's all shocked. And then he looks out the window, and there's a calling card. He was like...
Yes.
It was, what was
it? My name is so-and-so, and...
My name is Yip... It was Yip something, I can't remember.
I don't know. But he has his name, and, like, who he is, and, like, what he's doing.
He's like, this was for the people, and, like,
this was for my father, or something.
I'll be back, or something
like
that.
I'll be back. And then at the end is his signature.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you do.
Leave a calling card.
Yes.
Yeah. So he flies off, and then... What happens after that?
The movie ends. No, I'm kidding. Hold on.
Because we're not to the, like, the middle part, but...
They go out and they, like, chase him. Remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Specifically, Tarzan. Remember?
Yeah, because he's flying on, like, vines. And then we get the most incoherent fight scene I've ever seen.
Day for night,
but they toned, like, the brightness down.
Yes, to make it look like night.
So you can't see anything. It's just a bunch of people flailing around.
And the good guy is wearing black.
I couldn't tell.
All black. You can't... All it looks like is a bunch of guys in, like, dark blue being, like, smacked around by some blob.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. After they do, like, a billion shots of him flying on vines for no reason. I don't know. Because he's Tarzan.
And then, like, the one of the henchmen of the warlord starts, like, flailing around this rope or whatever. I couldn't see what was on the end of it. He, like, throws stuff, and I couldn't see what it was. I think it was daggers, but I have no idea because it doesn't... You can't see anything.
We find out later what it did.
And he gets him and, like, it attaches on his shoulder. He's injured. And then he, like, presumably... Like, I guess it explains later he fell off a cliff. But there was nothing...
No, okay.
There was no cliff.
In the movie, it just shows him falling in the grass. But the bad guys are like, I saw him fall off a cliff. He's dead. And even if he isn't, it's poison. So, some bozo finds him.
Yep.
Takes him to, like, this hotel, like, inn type thing.
Uh-huh.
It's like a restaurant and, like, a place to stay. And he's immediately like, Master, this man is injured. I saw him beating up... the warlord's men.
So then they lay him down, and the girl...
What's she do? Will?
One of the girls, like, has to suck up the poison. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't say that, by the way.
No, you see it, though.
You just see her on top of him, like, just, like giving his, like, chest a hickey.
Yes, and then
she's just sucking on his chest.
And then she gets up, and then she spits out, like...
this black stuff.
Yeah.
And then they give him medicine. And then he just lays down for a while.
And then the movie takes a shit.
Then we get like 45 minutes
takes,
of just...
The movie takes a dump.
So this is the first 15 minutes, and now we get 45 minutes of nothing.
Literally nothing. There's some bullshit about how... Okay. The inn is owned by a brother and a sister. And then there's a guy... And his sister is like a concubine at the warlord's palace.
Yeah, he's the warlord. She's the warlord's concubine.
And then their mother also works at the inn. Okay?
So the warlord lets the girl go back to the brothel.
Visit.
Doesn't go anywhere because the brother's just mad at her for betraying the family. And the mother wants her to stay.
Because, quote unquote... She sold her body to the warlord.
And then she's like, you don't understand, and all this stuff. And, like, then she goes back to the warlord because she has to go back before he kills them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows the vengeance guy, like, waking up, and, like, he goes over, and they're talking, and, like, the brother and sister are talking about how they're going to get revenge against a guy who killed their parents.
Iron something?
Iron Flag? Or
Iron Flag?
Iron Banner?
If that's his fucking name?
I can't remember.
They just say, it's been 5 years since Iron Flag killed our mother.
Yeah.
Or
and
whoever.
Then, like,
we're like, what the fuck?
And then for no reason, it just shows an older guy walking through the streets.
And he sees the mother.
And he sees the mother, and then, like, throws, like...
A fucking, like...
Throws a dagger at one of the posts.
We'll be back tomorrow.
And then walks away, and then we get more stupid, like, a fight in the...
Well, then these other idiots from the warlord come to the inn, and they see the vengeance guy.
Yeah.
And they try to fight him. And he fights them, and then it just ends.
Yeah. They fight him, and then, like, he just goes outside, and it's over. Like, yeah. Everything's over. He didn't kill anyone. Yeah. And, like, the fight is just instantly over.
He even comes in and is like, yeah, I'm feeling fine now. And, like, they're like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm feeling fine now. Like, what? You just...
So they find the dagger on the post, and then Iron Flag comes back, and then they fight him. And they're, like, they're in the inn.
Then they teleport
to, like, a desert.
And then they teleport again. And then
they teleport again to, like, the ocean side.
Yes. Magic.
Like a cliff on the ocean.
Movie magic. Matter of fact.
They just magically transport to each location.
They fight him, and eventually Mr. Vengeance shows up and is like, I'll take care of this. And he fights him and kills him.
I will mention the funniest part in that scene is the Iron Flag tries to, like, throw a dagger at him, and the guy catches it in his mouth. And then spits it back into his chest.
But he spits it back, like, a minute later.
Yeah.
So he holds it in there, and then as soon as he has an opportunity, he spits it right at his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty clever. And we should also mention, the main warlord wears tennis shoes.
It looks like it in one of the scenes. Like, after that, they changed his shoes.
Yeah, because they noticed.
They looked like tennis shoes.
Because they noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't reshoot that scene.
Apparently not, no. Even though it's not even an important scene. He's just sitting there.
None of these scenes are important scenes.
No, because it's the entire boring middle section that nothing happens.
Yeah. So he wears tennis shoes. Whatever. Oh, there's also a scene where he, like... It's like the bride or something of his son is crying, and he just sits there behind her and, like, starts, like, taunting her because she's crying, remember?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you're always so tearful. Tearful. There are tears and, like...
Why do you always cry? And, like, all this stuff. Oh, man. And so... Stupid. Nothing happens, and then they... Then...
Oh, so... Forgot. After he kills Iron Flag, he looks at the two of them and just says, goodbye. I'll be on my way now.
Yeah.
Like, that's it!
Yeah, he's gonna go back to the warlord and try and kill him.
And they're just like, okay. And they go back to the inn, and there's magically a note there.
Yeah, that says, like, I went, like...
Uh-huh.
You know, and again? I'll avenge my father's death or something.
And again, has his signature on it.
Yeah.
He just leaves his signature everywhere he goes.
And so they're like... Like, they're like, I hope he's okay. It's like, this random dude that keeps leaving notes everywhere.
You saw him, like, 2 minutes ago.
He just killed the guy that killed your parents.
They never mention that again.
They never even care. They don't even care. They're just like, whatever, he just killed the guy that we were after.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I hope he's okay. You saw him, like, 2 minutes ago. Like, 2 fucking minutes ago.
I don't know why they couldn't have just, like, had him explain... While he's on the cliff being like, I'm going to go back and try and destroy the warlord.
Well,
but no, it's just goodbye.
Well, your question has no answer, I'm sorry.
I know it doesn't.
I have no comment. This because this whole section is stupid.
So then we get the guy going back to the warlord's keep and fighting a bunch of dudes.
Again, day for night.
Clear day for night. Yes. Like, you can see blue skies.
You know, you know how he gets defeated, though? By birds.
Yeah. So he's fighting, like, all these guys. He's taking down all of them. He's getting a heads up. And then the henchman comes back with the rope. And they, like, kind of try and get him. And they bombard him. And he seems to be doing okay. Mm-hmm. And then, for no reason, we just hear this.
Someone comes out and, like, throws a bird out. And suddenly there's, like, 5 birds attacking him, but you never actually see them, like, on screen. It just shows, like, stock footage of, like, a bird flying.
Yeah.
And then him whacking something.
Yeah, him, like...
But for no reason, also, like, during this fight scene, he takes his shirt off.
I think it's because he's trying to whack the birds away with his shirt.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that? I don't know. But, like...
He gets defeated.
Couldn't really tell. He gets taken down. They rope him up and then take him to get him tortured.
Yeah, they roast his nuts.
Yep. So they lay him down, and like it just shows like his face and a bunch of their faces, and they're just like doing something.
They're like taking like these like metal prongs,
like,
or something,
like a hot poker.
Yeah, and they're like poking him somewhere below the torso.
It doesn't show where they're poking him. It doesn't show burns. It doesn't show anything.
So I'm just gonna say they're roasting his nuts. Might as well be.
It's a good guess.
That's torture.
There's also like that scene where they're like the master said to kill you, but he also said to do it slowly, and then they start whipping him.
And then he grabs the whips.
Well, no, it's just, they start whipping him, and it doesn't show the whips like connecting with any part of his body, because it shows his whole torso, and they're presumably whipping him, but it doesn't show any whip, like, it shows whip marks after they're done.
You know why?
It doesn't show the whips hitting his body.
Will, that's movie magic.
No, movie magic would be the whips connecting with his body. No,
if you just have the sound effects, that's all you need, Will.
Apparently.
You just need sound effects.
And they all whip at once, and he grabs every single whip that's not hitting him.
Nope.
And then throws them back.
Yeah, and then they're like, we're gonna, like, if you do that again, we'll kill you. And it's like, you told him, like, 30 seconds ago that your job is to kill him.
Right.
Make up your goddamn mind.
So then we go back to the concubine, and she's saying that we need to help this guy, Yip, because he can help us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I have a cousin that runs, like a carriage out in and out of the temple.
And did so you like, actually notice? Did you actually hear all those details, or are you just making the shit up?
No, I just made that shit up because that's what happens, but they don't explain any of that.
I was about to say, if you actually heard all that, I would be impressed.
No, I did not.
But okay.
I did not hear all that. I'm just...
Well, you're assuming.
Well, I mean...
He has the very important job of carrying a gigantic pile of hay out of the temple.
Yep.
To somewhere.
We don't know. It doesn't explain where he's going or why what he's transporting.
We'll talk about the magical cousin.
Yep. So he, the cousin, they find the cousin and he takes...
all takes like 20 minutes, by the way.
Yeah. Quote unquote wine. This is the very nutshell version because if you watch it, it's really boring and slow.
Yes.
So he finally, the cousin takes wine down to the soldiers that are torturing Yip. And he's like... The master said to give you wine because you guys need a break. You've been working hard down here, torturing this guy and poking him in the balls. So he gives them all wine, and they immediately get knocked out.
Immediately. And you assume that he saves them, but it doesn't show you anything at first. And he's, like, leaving with the carriage, and they're inspecting it.
They just start stabbing the hay.
Get used to this. They stab the hay, and then you see, like, a shot of him, and it's like, you don't really get it at first, but you then find out that he's under the carriage.
He's hanging onto the carriage underneath.
Yes. So he leaves, and then
another
checkpoint.
This all takes, like, 15 minutes, by the way. Each checkpoint takes, like, an incredibly long time.
Because they poke again.
They yell at the uncle.
And then there is a drunk guy.
Yeah.
And I mean drunk, like the worst drunk actor ever. And the cousin pulls out a giant, like, fucking thing of wine.
Huge fucking, massive. Like, comically
and
large.
He's like, I know your commander likes wine. And the drunk commander just hobbles on over and grabs his wine.
Ooh, wine. Ooh, dang.
I know this man. Let him go. Let's him go.
He lets him go. And then he gets to another checkpoint.
The final checkpoint. The last checkpoint.
Yeah.
Of the checkpoints.
This is all taking about 15 minutes.
He gets there, and they do the same thing.
They yell at him and poke the hay.
And then they're off, and then they notice.
And then the soldiers notice blood.
Yes. And then the incredible music kicks in.
It's like this rock and like almost like thrash metal music.
Yeah,
like it's like
it's like thrash metal mixed with like traditional, like, Chinese music or something.
I know, like, taiko drums and
it's
stuff.
It's so strange.
With, like, really, like, heavy, like,
yeah,
distorted guitar.
Because he, like, starts riding like a madman on, like, his carriage. And it's just, like, showing his faces. And it's just like... And we're just like, okay. Whoa. Suddenly we're, like, exciting again. Because so up until this point, we were bored out of our fucking minds.
Oh, yeah. Because this is, like, all, like, a good, like, 30-minute section of just, like, nothing mm-hmm. happening. Not even 30 minutes. It's longer than that.
It's longer than that.
Because the last 20 minutes are, like, the exciting part.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's, like, a good, like, 40 minutes of just...
Of nothing.
Like, just all this stuff happening that we just explained in, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It, all that stuff happened in, like, a 45-minute
yes.
interval.
Yes.
And so
he's riding like a madman.
He starts riding like a madman. The soldiers start chasing after him.
And then the women.
The women come down and she, like, puts her arms out, like, and to stop the soldiers.
And they, like, awkwardly surround
and
her.
And they awkwardly, like, shuffle around her into a circle. And she starts fighting all of them. And then the brother tries to stop the horse, right?
And he can't.
But the horse, like, goes out of control. And the uncle, like, slaps the horse away to, like, get the horse to go away.
Okay,
and then I'll
you
let you
say that.
I'll let you explain this.
Number one, I have issues with your description there. You say he slaps the horse away, but I guess? But then, like, he slaps the horse away, and there's, like, a little rock on the path, right? It goes, keep in mind... Mr. Benjamin's man is under the carriage during this entire madness, okay? So, it goes over a little bump, and the fucking cousin just launches into the air and falls out of the ground.
It's like this little tiny rock in the
road. Doesn't matter. Launches him into the fucking air.
I know. And all the hay goes everywhere.
And he, I'm gonna guess, dies, because all you see is his body. And I'm not joking, they never mention him again.
That little rock must have been like a fucking grenade or like a landmine, because it fucking just...
Know what? That bitch dead.
Over that, a tiny little rock.
That bitch is dead. And over nothing. But it just they just forget it. They just forget it happened. So the carriage keeps going, and there's a cliff. Now, we've all seen movies where a car goes over a cliff, right?
Like that slow-mo shot of, like, a car falling off a cliff.
Like, where they show, like, right before it goes off, you see, like, the cliff. And let's say there's someone in the car, and they're trying to get out of the car before it goes over the cliff, and it's really intense. Now, imagine that with a little carriage.
A little wooden carriage.
And I do mean little.
Like a rickshaw.
Yes.
It's like a rickshaw.
It's a goddamn rickshaw. Now, ask yourself, how the fuck does this thing go fast enough to fly off a cliff? I don't know.
And it just hit a rock, so it would just tip over.
That's what I thought.
In reality, it would.
I thought it was going to tip over, and, like, it would flip, and, like, it would send, you know, Mr. Vengeance flying. But right before it goes off the cliff, he, like, falls off the bottom of the carriage.
Yeah, he lets go. I don't know why he didn't let go beforehand, like, in any of this.
I don't know. But he lets go, and it flies off the cliff like you would see in a movie with a car.
And
I'm not kidding.
It's like slow-mo, too.
I'm not kidding.
He slow-mo it down and, like, have, like, the echoey noise of this rickshaw just, like...
It flips over and everything. Like a car. Who does that? You know who? These madmen. I will say this. I've never seen that before in my goddamn life. And I don't think I will again.
I don't think I'll ever see a slow-mo shot.
Like, I've seen movies where, like...
a carriage going over a cliff.
Yeah. I've seen movies where, like, a carriage goes over a cliff, but there's, like, horses riding it, at least.
Yeah.
At least. Not just a goddamn unmanned carriage. Like, in the logic of this movie, when the horse lets go of it, the carriage just keeps fucking going as fast as possible. Like,
apparently the horse was very loosely attached to that.
It's incapable of slowing down. It's just not capable.
It is an unstoppable, unmovable force.
It's like,
unless it hits a rock and then goes off a cliff.
Yeah. The only thing that stops it is going off a cliff. You can't slow it down. It's against the laws of physics.
I almost wish they would have showed it exploding or something.
That would have been the only improvement.
That would have made it so much better.
The smart thing to do would have been to have him, like, just make it up. Say that he's transporting hay and explosives. That's like, what they should have done.
Like petrol or something.
Yes.
Like, just have it go over the cliff and just... And then, yes. Like, a fireball.
Like, we should make our own shitty kung fu movie and remake this scene with, like... bombs on there for no reason. Because why not?
I think we need to.
Yes.
Just as
and then when it flies off the cliff, have it explode in midair.
Yes.
For no reason. Because you already do that in all those other movies. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Hell, we've had like two movies on this podcast that do this exact thing with cars.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember Brain of Blood and Two-Headed Transplant.
Yeah, I remember Brain of Blood. They changed the color of the car.
Yeah, and the same thing. If it explodes... immediately after it goes off for no reason.
Yeah.
So why not do it with a carriage?
Exactly.
Who knows? But here's where it gets fucking... Well, I shouldn't say gets because it already got weird.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets weirder.
So the brother and the sister... So...
You see her at a... holding like a gravestone. It's like a wooden gravestone. And I was thinking...
They're mourning the uncle. That's what I thought.
That's what you thought.
Boy, was I wrong.
No one gives a shit about him.
No one gives a shit about the guy that saved him.
Nope. Then they say, it's been 2 years.
Since he fell off the cliff. So they think that...
So not only do they think he fell off the cliff, the bad guys do too.
They think he died in a rickshaw...
Now...
going off a cliff.
Now, this may shock you. I have problems with this logic. Number one, there's no body.
Okay, here's the thing. If a rickshaw goes off a cliff and the guy was still attached to the bottom, there would be a body. It didn't explode. There was nothing to, like, make the body disappear.
Okay. There is one road going off the cliff. One road, okay? Now, the cousin died earlier on that same fucking road. Let's say, for sake of argument, in the movie, 10 seconds later... Mr. Vengeance falls off the bottom of the cart on the same road. Do they not see him falling off the cart?
It wasn't even a covered road. Like, because there was no coverage, there was no trees, there was no nothing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they then run up to the cliff and look at the crashed rickshaw?
Yeah.
Now, are you telling me that within the 10 seconds that this happened, he fell off the rickshaw and just bailed?
Yeah.
Tell me else what happened.
He just ran off. Even though he was severely injured.
Nope, he ran the fuck off. And at first I was confused. Because they were like, it's been 2 years. And I was like, wait a minute. No.
They think he's... I was like...
No.
I was like, there's no way they think he's dead.
Number one, there's no way they think he's dead. Number two, who the fuck does a time jump of 2 years...
It was like for... This is like a good 50 minutes into the movie, by
no
the way.
No reason.
This is like 50 minutes into the movie. Like, for no reason whatsoever.
What's funny is, in this time jump, everyone has just gone on their merry way.
Yeah, they're everyone. Just back to normal.
But, then, Mr. Vengeance shows up, and he is, all of a sudden, he is like the swag master.
He is like the cockiest, like, just,
yes.
Just fucking baller ass.
He walks
like,
in there, and immediately, like,
he owns
sits
the
down,
place. Yeah.
And, like, tells them all that he's gonna, like, you know, that they're nothing.
But they're small fries.
Yeah, he does, like, he tells them they're small fries, and then does this, like, motion with his hands of him, like, throwing
flicking
something.
Flicking them off.
Like, flicking something
like,
away.
Like, if you, like, had, like, a piece of lint on your, on your, like, fingernail, and, like, just were
that's
flicking
what he does.
It off, he just flicks
kicks
it
their
off
asses.
Like it's nothing.
Kicks their asses. Okay?
He's, like, he has so much swag at that point that his those 2 years.
Yeah.
Apparently he learned more... martial arts.
Apparently, he just became even more swag. Somehow, he was just incognito for 2 years somewhere.
It like so. It reminds me of like a bad version of like Lord of the Rings, where like Gandalf the Grey becomes Gandalf the White. He's all badass after he becomes Gandalf the White. Like, but that like Lord of the Rings explains that better. But this one
who
just,
needs explanations?
It doesn't even explain where he's been or anything. Like,
no,
he doesn't explain where he went. It doesn't explain why they didn't see him when he...
It turns into a spaghetti western.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
It even starts doing, like, the twangy, like...
Yeah.
like, kind of like...
It turns out it's like a goddamn Clint Eastwood spaghetti western with, like, the cool, aloof stranger who comes in and fucks everything up.
He starts acting like Clint Eastwood in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Like, he starts acting all, like, cool and...
And, like quiet and, like...
Reserved, but, like, a total badass.
Yeah, like, we're just like, okay.
I don't get it. Like,
fine.
It's fucking weird.
So, eventually, one of the women, or two of the concubines, try to escape from the palace.
Out of nowhere. It doesn't explain that they're trying to escape. They just start running in the woods.
They get killed. And he is, like, there.
And Swaggy McYip Man comes over and is like, yo, like, I will avenge your death.
And they're like, don't go. It's a trap. He's like, I will avenge your death.
And then puts on his sunglasses and, like, you know, strolls into the sunset ready for the final battle. I'm just kidding. That doesn't happen. But
if only.
While, like, heavy metal rock music just plays while he, like, flicks a, like, piece of, like, sunglasses and, like, starts, like...
Yeah, this totally happens.
Yeah, no, it really doesn't. I'm just joking. But, I mean, that's kind of how he acts, though. He acts like he's a total just, like, he's fucking, like, king of the world.
So then we see that, like, the main warlord is in, like, this thing on top of a mountain, and there's all these henchmen there, and that's when we get to our final confrontation.
Yep.
Now.
Yip McSwagger Pants.
Before we talk about this,
sister.
Before we talk about this, let's discuss how you fix this movie.
There's a very easy way to fix this movie.
Really, Will?
Shall I explain?
I think you should, because I'm pretty
sure. Do you want to explain?
We have. I think you should, because I'm pretty sure we have the same idea.
Okay. So what you do is you take the first half of the movie. I mean, the first, like, 10 minutes, right? Keep that. And then do the whole part with the rickshaw, like him getting captured. Like, just have him kind of clumsily get captured.
Yeah.
And then, like, don't put in all that stupid thing shit about, like, how he learned all the martial arts.
No, don't do that.
Because that would make it look, that'd make no sense.
Yeah.
So take all that, I learned all the martial arts stuff out, put in the first 10 minutes, and then have him get captured, have the rickshaw part happen about how he dies.
Yes.
And then have him come back as Yip McSwagger Pants.
Yes.
And
continue from there.
And then continue from there. That's what they should do. And we'll cut out that entire, like, 50 minutes.
You don't
need
that.
You don't need that 45 minute interval. You could have done
it. That's what you do.
You could have done it.
What you don't do is put that in the last fucking 20 minutes. Of the goddamn movie.
Yeah, you don't have, like, a protagonist presumably die and then come back as a total badass.
2 years later.
50 minutes into your hour and 25 minute movie.
2 years.
You don't do a time... I mean, some movies do time jumps that late in the movie.
2 years.
But that's because sometimes it makes sense. This one did not make sense.
2 years.
With no explanation of where he's been.
Nope.
Or why he didn't say goddamn word.
Motherfucker.
Why didn't he use his classic calling card bullshit? Like, leave a message like, I'm not dead, I just went to train more.
Because they forgot.
Apparently.
They forgot they were doing that.
They forgot to just film a little note like they did all the other times?
Yes. They forgot.
Apparently.
I don't know.
So now we get to the final confrontation.
Yes.
Best part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is where it just gets... They just amp it up to a level that I did not expect. And I actually kind of enjoyed this
part.
This
is where you get the money shots.
Just because it's so ridiculous.
Oh, it's insanity.
So, they start fighting up this, like, wooden, like, fortress on, like, a cliffside.
Yeah.
And they start fighting and, like, the old guy is just... Like, the warlord is...
He's just chilling.
He's fine. He's like,
he's not
whatever.
Worried at all.
He's not worried. He has total faith in his henchmen. Mm-hmm. And then it shows his henchmen, like, sitting above him, just watching them fight all the other, like, lower henchmen.
Yeah.
So they get through most of those, and then the girl jumps onto the platform and starts trying to kill the warlord.
Yeah.
And the henchman just watches because he knows the warlord can handle himself. And she's trying to kill him, and then... He jumps down and, like, he, like, grabs at his belt and like whips his hand across, and it's
a fucking sword.
It's a fucking sword belt.
Yep.
I was like, that's kind of badass.
They
like,
done did that.
That's actually pretty cool. I have to admit that was actually really cool. Like, I actually kind of liked that.
They did that.
They did it. They did a a sword that's also a belt.
Yeah, and eventually, the woman's brother,
right? Yeah, comes in and start fighting.
And
him.
he gets killed.
Yeah, so the henchmen start like staggers them down the stairs again. And he slashes the brother across the chest.
Yeah.
And the brother's like, avenge me! I'm dying! Avenge me! And like, just leans over a post.
And dies.
And dies. And so the girl is pissed.
Yeah. And they keep fighting. Lots of fighting.
Yip's fighting another, like, Yip McSwagger Pants is fighting another, like, henchman.
Yeah.
Like, on a cliffside, like, gets a hold of him and then sees the girl like being staggered back by the bad guy with the belt sword.
Yeah.
And
he helps her.
Yep. He helps her.
And he kicks him the fuck off.
We forgot to mention the best part about the scene before this though, where the brother flies up the cliff.
No, it's not the brother, it's Swagger.
Oh yeah, Yip McSwagger Pants fly. Okay, so Superman. when they're infiltrating the
He flies like the Superman. Fortress,
He jumps, but he, like, flies like Superman up a massive mountain.
Keyword, massive.
It's huge. And he just flies right up it like he's just fucking Superman.
Yeah.
Because apparently he was learning to fly those 2 years. Yeah. He was presumably dead.
Also, there's a lot of jumping in this action scene.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of jumping.
A lot of, like, monkey jumping.
Yes.
It's, like, weird, like,
and
like they're, like, high knee jumping.
Yeah. And eventually he, like, gets the belt guy and like
he like flies his sword into his stomach.
So he impales him. The other guy, he kicked him off the cliff, and he magically turns into a dummy when he flies off the cliff.
Uh-huh.
Which I have zero complaints about.
I love the ragdoll effect thing. Like
I love that shit.
It looks so ridiculous, but it's
great. Love it. I love bad dummy shots. I love them. And he does that, and it's just.
So now it's just the warlord.
It's just him and the warlord.
Yip McSwagger Pants and the girl.
Yeah.
But so, she doesn't really help that much.
No, because he tells her, stay back.
Yeah.
And then he starts fighting the warlord. And then he tells him who he is. He's like, you killed my father. And he's like, you're so-and-so. I'll kill you. And then there's like this scene where they just yell at each other for like 10 seconds straight. And then it's like, okay.
Then they start, like, hand, like, you know, doing...
Then the crazy shit starts.
Yeah, so they get onto this, like, there's another rickshaw. So
they're on a cliffside.
They're on a cliffside, and there's, like, a wooden thing with, like, posts sticking out of it.
Yeah.
And so they start fighting around it, like, and, the guy, they, like, kind of get each other back, and, like, they keep hitting each other, and, like, keep staggering each other, and... Eventually, Yip McSwagger Pants grabs the stick and, like, starts trying to wail on this guy.
Forget what happened before.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Remember he went under it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And...
Oh, yeah, I know, so...
He did something?
The old guy tries to run him over with the rickshaw, but the guy rolls under the rickshaw and, like, grabs onto the bottom of it again. And I'm like, are they doing this again?
Yeah.
And then the old guy, I don't
starts...
know... Starts spinning the rickshaw, like... Just furiously.
Now, I ask you, Will. Why?
I don't know. To disorient the guy? I have no idea.
But why?
But yet McSquire Pants is used to this.
You can't disorient him. He's too fucking swag.
He is too
swag. You cannot disorient him.
He has too much flair.
So then he gets up and grabs the pole.
Yeah. He gets up and grabs the pole. And, like, the old man, like, kicks him back onto the rickshaw and, like, tries to, like, kick
him. Well, no, he grabs the girl... As a hostage.
Oh, that's right. And he knocks the guy back onto the rickshaw and, like, pushes it towards the cliffside.
Swaggy Pants is on the rickshaw.
This is the
now,
tits.
It's about to fly off the cliff, and he's just on it. He's not jumping off.
No, he's just watching it, like, go off this cliff.
Then, right before it goes off, he takes his leg out and he, like...
Stops
the carriage. He puts it on the wheel.
And then he becomes the... Oh, man.
You know what he becomes? Becomes Rickshaw Man.
the fucking badass of the West.
He becomes Rickshaw Man because he then pushes it forward with his foot.
He starts kicking it forward.
He starts to control the rickshaw by, like, furiously kicking it.
And then he, like, it. The most hilarious part is he fights with the rickshaw.
Yes.
He, like, starts swinging the, like...
He starts swinging it around and, like, hitting
the old guy
with it.
Yeah. And just, like, starts swinging it around and, like, you know, like, slamming it down on this guy. And then he finally...
And running him over.
He ran him over and it, like blood just, like, sprays out of the warlord.
So he runs him over and it's, like, on him. And then he gets the fucking, like, pole and starts bashing his face in. And I swear to God, you can see, like, brain matter next to him, but he's still alive.
And the old guy gets up and...
And they fight some more.
And then, you know, Rickshaw Man kicks him onto the rickshaw.
And then he jumps into the fucking air.
And, like, crushes his chest.
He kicks his chest, and the old man just, like...
Sprays blood.
Yeah, like, out of his mouth in slow motion, just an insane amount of blood sprays out. And then he kicks the rickshaw with him on it, and then it goes off the cliff.
Yep.
And then
we get a scene
of her. She's buried her brother while it plays music that they
sounds eerily familiar.
Yeah, it sounds like Finale by Ennio Morricone from Once Upon a Time in the West.
What? That's because it is.
Yeah, it's the same song.
They went there.
Great.
They went there.
If you're going to steal from the best, I guess.
But why? Why add a spaghetti western soundtrack to a martial arts movie?
Because they thought that we gave a shit.
Rickshaw Man, though.
Because they thought that with her burying her brother and Rickshaw Man supposedly leaving to do whatever the fuck, they thought that, like, that piece of music would really, like, make us feel things. The problem is... I don't give a fuck.
I don't care about any of these
characters. I just want to see him run over motherfuckers with a rickshaw.
I just want to see him, like, more martial arts scenes of him kicking a rickshaw around and, fighting with
it. But it doesn't matter, because that end scene lasts, like, I'm not joking, like, 10 seconds. Because
and then end.
She's, like, at his grave, and then he gets on the horse, and she's like, wait. And then he takes her on the horse, and then it just says the end. That's it.
That's it. No credits. Nothing.
There's no resolution. Nothing.
It just ends.
He murders this old man, kicks him off a cliff, and then 10 seconds of, like, quote-unquote resolution, and that's it.
Yeah. So that's Boxes of Loyalty and Righteousness. Wow. We said most of it, but, like... That fight.
Do you have more to add?
I just want to establish the gravity of how fucking entertaining the rickshaw fight was.
Because they went there.
I've never seen a movie where a guy fights by kicking a rickshaw around.
I haven't either.
But I'm glad I have now.
We have now.
Because that fight scene was so worth it.
That was ridiculous.
That was worth the hour and, like, 10 minutes we watched of the film.
I'll say that... The last fight scene is genuinely good. Like, it's pretty well choreographed. The two, the old man and Mr. Swaggy Pants, like, beat the ever-loving fuck out of each other.
Yeah, it lasts
and
a while.
I'm not joking. By the end of it, they are both, like, drenched in blood.
Yeah.
And it's, like, pretty well choreographed.
So, I'll admit, like, it's kind of a weird thing for me, but I liked about 30 minutes of this movie.
I liked the beginning and the ending.
That's about 30 minutes.
Like, the first rickshaw scene on.
So, like, the first, I would say, like, the first 10 minutes. So, I'll give it a break. Maybe it's, like, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first 10 minutes are just pure, just insanity. And that,
just nonsense.
I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. And then you get 50 minutes of nothing.
Yeah.
And then you get back to kind of good stuff. And then the rickshaw, like, the rickshaw fight just takes the cake for me.
Yeah, you get to the ending.
Like, which... if you're a martial arts fan and you like ridiculous fight scenes, you need to watch this movie.
Yeah. No, the last...
I would recommend the last 20 minutes of this film.
The last fight scene is genuinely entertaining.
Yeah. because it's ridiculous, and I've never seen that before.
It's just you have to wait through
a lot of shit.
Of bullshit.
Yeah.
I can see a lot of people turning this off.
I almost wanted to. I kept checking the time. And then
you checked the time a couple times.
Then it finally got back into it, and I was like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, it delivered.
That rickshaw, I love it.
Like, I just want to know what he was doing with it.
Rickshaw man.
When he was under the rickshaw, and he was spinning it around 360 like a fucking madman.
I don't know. I'm guessing he was trying to disorient the guy.
I don't know. But Will, question. Why didn't he just flick the rickshaw off the cliff?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Or why did rickshaw man not fly off the rickshaw when it was hurtling towards the cliff?
Because then you would not have had the greatest
my favorite scene, yeah.
action scene of all time.
That's a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
No, it's not a stretch.
It's so entertaining though. Like seeing a guy fight with just his foot on a wheel in a rickshaw,
is running over a poor old man.
Like I want to shake the hands with the man that came up with that idea, because that is just bonkers. Who thinks of that?
Drugs.
Who thinks of a guy? He's like, okay, we're gonna have a fight scene, and the guy's gonna stop the rickshaw with his foot, and then he's gonna wheel it towards the bad guy, and then start swinging the legs.
Do you like the fact that there's just randomly a rickshaw on the side of the cliff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there had to be.
Yeah.
Like you said, if that wouldn't have been there, we wouldn't have gotten that fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my final thoughts of the film. That rickshaw scene just made it totally worth it.
Oh, yeah.
What are your final thoughts on the film?
Pretty much the same. You have to sit through a lot of bullshit. A lot of just nauseating boredom and absolute nothing plot-wise, nothing. But once you get to those last 20 minutes, you see some absolute insanity.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
I would say it's worth it. I would argue that.
Because I've never seen anything like it.
I encourage Kung Fu fans to watch this movie and maybe skip like the middle section.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to the part where the rickshaw guy is leaving the palace.
Just go to that.
Just go to that, and then you'll be fine. Just watch it from there, because it gets ridiculous.
It gets insane.
So this has been The Boxers of Loyalty and Righteousness.
Boxers.
You can find it on Amazon if you have a Prime membership.
I think there's also a copy on YouTube.
There probably is. A lot of these like are on YouTube, and the better version is on Prime.
You can be like one of the only 10 people who've seen this fucking thing.
The rickshaw scene. Go watch it, please.
Yeah.
Just look it up on YouTube. If you don't want to watch the whole movie, just look up like the rickshaw fight scene. It's worth it. I promise you. So yeah, that was our second Kung Fu movie of 1972. As always, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we'll talk to you later.
Bye.